Our scripture lesson today comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever becomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever becomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward.
When I think about words of welcome, one of the first things I think about is a little decorative plate that my papa had in his house in Abingdon, Virginia. Whenever we would go visit, I would go over to this curio cabinet thing and I would read that plate, and it had these words of welcome on it. It said, "You're welcome here. Be at your ease. Go to bed when you're ready. Get up when you please. Happy to share with you such as we've got, the leak in the roof, the soup in the pot. You don't have to thank us or laugh at our jokes. Sit deep and come often. You're one of the folks." When I think about words of welcome, I think about my papaw's mug, that decorative plate. This is the end in this scripture of Jesus' big instructions on what it will take and what it will mean to be his disciple. And before he utters these words of welcome that we read today, we've heard some instructions that seemed a little tough. Take up your cross and follow me. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And here I have what I think is meant to be a sort of encouragement, both to Jesus' original disciples and also an encouragement to Matthew's community, that young church, as they faced persecution and being thrown out of synagogues and the usual places where they would have been welcomed as Christianity began to separate from Judaism. Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I think to the church, when people welcome you instead of shunning you, those hosts will be rewarded. They'll be rewarded, whether they welcome prophets who are really high up in a religious community because they speak for God, or whether they welcome righteous people, a little less than a prophet, but mature in the faith, the rank and file of the faithful, or even the little ones, the children, the people on the margins, maybe the new ones to the faith. Whoever they welcome, they'll receive their reward. This concept that Jesus talks about is common in several cultures, that the servant gets a lavish welcome, not because the servant deserves it, but as a way to show honor to the one who sent him. Like the closest parallel I can think of is to be an ambassador. Ambassadors are welcomed to countries not because they're so amazing, but as a way to show honor to the country that is sending the ambassador. I've noticed in a life of faith that sometimes as a follower of Christ, we are called to be the ones offering the welcome, and other times we are called to be the ones on the receiving end of the welcome. And in this saying of Jesus, we as followers of Jesus, we as disciples, we're in the position of being welcomed. So I want to start with that particular lens. Let's start with what it's like to be the welcomee, if you will. Now, it seems that the disciples have it easy. All they have to do is show up and be welcomed. And if they're not welcomed, Jesus says in another place in the gospel, shake the dust off your feet as a testament against them and move on. If we place ourselves as a disciple in the story, whether we consider ourselves a prophet, a righteous person, or a little tiny one, we seem to have it easy. When they welcome us, it gets even better. They're not just welcoming us, they're welcoming Jesus and also the one who sent him, God the Father, which is just fantastic. sounds like. Jesus seems to be saying, if that's the case, surely we would get the comfy chair, the good china, and jurisdiction over the remote control. Sign me up, Jesus. Sure, I had to carry my cross and everything, but at least some of the time, I get the VIP treatment. Like the singing furniture in Beauty and the Beast, we get to watch the banquet table spread before us. As a candle sings, be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Sounds great. Except, if you have ever been radically welcomed, especially when you needed it so much, especially when you did not even get a chance to earn it first, especially when people barely knew you, you know that it's kind of humbling, kind of convicting to be truly welcomed in this way. I asked my Facebook friends to share stories of this kind of hospitality, and I got dozens of them. Some stories came from trips to faraway places. Many came from mission trips. And I heard stories of trips to India and Africa and China and Honduras and the Dominican Republic. Places where my friend came from a first world country, right? Lots of advantages here in America, lots of stuff compared to other countries. And they went to these places where, by comparison, these folks had next to nothing. And their hosts opened their hands to them and gave to them generously from what little they had. Places where they didn't have a lot of food, never mind a lot of extra food, and they fed the guests the best of what they had. They served meat to the guests while the hosts ate cabbage. They gave special places to sit to the guests. And if the guests said they admired something, it was just given to them as a present. I heard stories of people who welcomed sometimes a dozen people into their little home and made breakfast for the whole crew. People who gave away the good places to sleep for their guests, translated everything into English for them. Children who gave paper drawings to them in a place where paper is like a treasure. Melissa talked about a trip to Zimbabwe where they were doing a ribbon cutting for a cart that they had made that's designed to be pulled by a donkey, and it's designed to be used as a library on wheels for the community. So they had a banquet for the event and for Melissa's team. She said they didn't have enough utensils for everyone there. So the guests ate first while the hosts ate nothing. And when the guests had eaten their fill, then they washed the utensils, and only then did the hosts sit down to eat. I heard stories from closer to home, incredible hospitality from homeowners in hurricane-devastated places where Glenmar people went to help and found when they got there, they received a welcome that was beyond the scope of anything they imagined or felt that they had earned. Heard stories from Hurley, Virginia, a place we've gone every year for 20 years to make homes warmer, safer, and drier. I heard what it was like to go on your first trip to Hurley and be welcomed as a family member from the minute you got there. Stories of banquet tables of homemade country food and love given to them. In the name of Jesus. My story of welcome I've shared with you before, but my first appointment anyone's first appointment is an occasion for nervousness and excitement. In my first appointment, I was sent to be the associate pastor of two churches, one largely Caucasian and one African American. And that first Sunday, I preached. And I was wearing a brand new alb that I'd worn one other time. And the first church that I visited that morning happened to be the African American church. And they welcomed me with open arms in such a way that it was more than I could take in. It was like coming home to a place I'd never been before. It was like people loving me before they even knew me. By the way, Pastor Milena Trice is coming to join us on July the 1st, and we will be her first appointment as a pastor. My prayer is that she experiences it like coming home to a place she'd never been before. When you have received the kind of welcome that I'm talking about, you receive it not because you've earned the welcome, but because someone recognizes the divine in you. They see your need, they see your humanity, and that is enough for them. As Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. When you're on the receiving end of hospitality like that, welcoming like that, it's humbling. It changes what a welcome looks like for you every day after that. And it might just change the way that we act when we are welcomed, knowing that we are there not on our own, but as representatives, as ambassadors for Jesus. And then to receive the gracious welcome that is so undeserved, unearned. It's as if Jesus is experienced in the welcomer and also in the welcomee. So that's what it's like to be the welcomee. Let's talk about being the welcomer. The welcome Jesus calls us to extend is pretty radical. And it's a mirror of the hospitality that God shows all of us in Jesus. The very act of God sending Jesus is the most radical act of hospitality I can think of, because it is God sending God's self to extend radical hospitality to those who are far off and those who are near. Once you have experienced God's welcome, you're more likely to give that kind of welcome to others. On the surface, being a welcomer, like being a welcomee, looks very easy. You get a reward, hooray. Although I have to admit, when I read about a prophet's reward, I thought about that time that Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad when people persecute you on account of me, because that's how they treated the prophets before you." So I'm a little worried. But the ultimate rewards of the righteous are pretty good, so. This passage pairs nicely with Matthew 25, where we are definitely placed in the spot of being the one called to offer welcome. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And he'll say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Not a bad reward, right? Jesus says, the king says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then the people on the king's right answer him and they say, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothes? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king answers, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." We're called to be more than just welcomees. We're called to be welcomers. At the first Sunday of my first appointment as a pastor, I was reeling from the depth and breadth of their welcome when I walked in the building, and they were taking up the offering. And the song for the offering was, "The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you." And I thought, oh, they really are not welcoming me because I appear to be a good preacher. Must be that the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. That's what God's welcome is. It does involve putting ourselves in the shoes of the guest. When we see someone hungry, thirsty, naked, as a stranger, sick, or imprisoned, we're seeing Jesus, and we are called to meet that need. To welcome that person, to give food and water and clothing and love and inclusion. We're called to welcome them. Not for the sake of being paid back, but because the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Knowing that all people are made in God's image. That kind of welcoming is kind of freeing, because it means that we don't have to look at their transcript first. It means we don't have to see whether they agree with us on anything before we welcome them or love them. And it can be something so simple. Even a cup of cold water. So simple. And yet when you're thirsty, a cup of cold water is everything, right? Everything. Jesus doesn't require us to be perfect or even particularly sacrificial in our welcome, although Jesus is sacrificial in his love and his welcome. A cup of cold water will do, and particularly to his little ones, the least, the last, the lost, and the left out. It seems shocking to offer this kind of welcome or to experience it, particularly today, particularly here in this country, because of how divided we are, how inhospitable we are. But surely, if any place is about offering radical welcome and love to all people, it would be the church that would offer that welcome. Glenmar's leadership and staff have been working on what God's hospitality looks like in our church, and what it looks like in an online community, and how to live it out in this particular season of COVID. We strive to say to our neighbors, we see you, we want to know you, and you matter. We say to our sick and shut-in, we see you, we want to know you, you matter. We'll continue to focus on hospitality for the rest of 2020 so we can be sure to welcome Jesus and not miss him when he shows up in the form of our neighbors. And it's not just about welcoming people to a building. It's about leading small groups that invite new people in. It's about reaching out to schools and teachers in the neighborhood. It's about living out the love of Jesus right where we live, right where we are now, not even in the building. In our neighborhoods and on our Zoom calls and in the grocery stores, welcoming right here in our community. It's not about checking boxes. It's about having welcome become who we are, not just something we do. Disciples are welcoming because we have a welcoming God. It is who God is to be welcoming. Therefore, as disciples of Jesus, it is who we are to be welcoming. Offering welcome to those who are far off and those who are near, those who are shut in, shut out, and passed over. You are welcome here. Be at your ease. Go to bed when you're ready. Get up when you please. Happy to share with you such as we've got. The leak in the roof, the soup in the pot. When it comes to Glenmar, you don't have to thank us or laugh at our jokes. Sit deep and come often. You're one of the folks. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever the thing is about you, you are welcome here. And the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you.